This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2025, held at United Christian School in Napanee, Indiana, on February 28 and March 1, 2025.
Good morning. So we have a few people who have made themselves available this morning. You know, I am always amazed at the number of people that are involved in our schools. You see events like this, CMTI, you know, Christian Lights workshops, and I just have to, you know, you put all these together in one, it would be a huge, the number of people that take, I say they take our schools serious if they're showing up at those type of things. And so God bless everybody that does that. It is a tremendous work. It is a tremendous work. So I have a topic today. I'm no expert in it. But it is something that I have had on my mind. And I'm wondering, how many of you in here are old enough to remember sitting down to a desktop computer and opening up Microsoft Streets and typing in your address? There are a few of you in here, and you got this nice map or a list, turn by turn, how to get there. And then it went to the smartphone and the GPS. And then the GPS started directing you around traffic. And guess what? You already sucked in to AI. That was no person telling you how to get there. That was machine intelligence functioning just like AI. They fed it a bunch of data. They gave it algorithms so they could calculate how to get to A to B, and there was no human involved. So I have a feeling there's a large number of people in here involved in AI. And you know, about that time, a little before that, the internet was available for research. And we used it for research. It was great. We started Googling everything. Google becomes a verb. And we use it. We like it. And then about 2 years ago, we start hearing this thing of AI or ChatGPT or what's the Microsoft Bing or whatever, not Bing, it's, I can't think of it right now. But there are a number of these chat bots around, and they start composing these paragraphs that sound just like somebody wrote them. And we understand that this is because of what they call large language models, LLMs. I don't know if you've heard of this term, probably some of you have. But it is a computer program trained on massive amounts of text data. It is designed to understand and generate human-like text based on the patterns and information it learns from its training. And so as it assimilates more and more data, it processes outcomes differently, and it's all based on the patterns. So it's something that evolves. And I think we've all experienced this. If you've Googled anything, that first paragraph is often AI generated. It sounds great. And some of us just stop there. I have a concern about that. I'll bring up later. They're built on neural systems that mimic the human brain. An AI scientist by the name of Sam Bowman says, if we open ChatGPT or a system like it and look inside, we see millions of numbers, flipping around a few hundred times a second, and we have no idea what it means. A professor at MIT says, we don't know how it works. It starts sounding a little eerie, doesn't it? A little weird, like what is going on here? You have these people that are actually designing it and working with it, and they're saying, we don't know, we can't understand why it works as good as it does. Once again, we're entering something here that's raising question marks. And this is not a computer just running algorithms, getting you from A to B like maps, GPSs do. This is different. And I have conversations, particularly since I've been developing this topic, with old and young. And they express concerns. And they'll say, you know, I don't want to think that the day will come and it gets out of hand and it runs away with humanity. I don't want to think it'll happen. I'm not sure that's good enough. Because I think all of us kind of have this feel of what is this? What can it do? What's going to happen? But we just keep on using it. A lot of us. We have an apprehension, and yet we're being ushered into it. How many of you have used it? Let's be honest. I have. I use it. And so we have this apprehension, but we're just forging ahead using it. And you know what? Maybe there isn't anything wrong with it. Maybe it is okay, and we have this natural built-in radar that anything is new, we have this concern about it. Is that all it is? Is that what the problem is? We're just apprehensive about something and actually there's nothing wrong with it? You know, I can't quite go there. You know, my topic is, are you afraid of AI? I don't know if afraid is the right term, but I definitely have concern. And so this morning, I want to raise concerns about what's in front of us so that we don't just get sucked into it, that we aren't just ushered along and then someday recognize the possibilities and the potentials that are there to cause issues with us and our beliefs, our faith. Here are six issues for us to think about. It's accuracy and bias. AI systems are trained on diverse data from the internet, and it includes accurate and inaccurate data. It uses both of those to form its answers. And so there's a risk of it spreading misinformation. It can lead to an over-reliance on technology. The integrating of AI can lead us into depending on it, becoming lazy. And if it does that, then it erodes our critical thinking skills. And then we have a loss of human interaction, where we rely too heavily on AI, and this reduces our opportunities to talk and relate to one another. There's also the potential of it to take our culture and start blending it with society, because AI is going to bring those things in. When you get your responses, AI is going to widely bring in different cultural views, different faith views, different values, and the potential of weakening our religious values AI content will not always align with our beliefs. And particularly, I think about students that could be exposed to secular thinking through the answers they're going to get through AI. Are these legitimate concerns? Are they legitimate? Interestingly enough, these six issues with AI are the answer I got when I asked AI what threats was it going to bring to conservative Anabaptist schools. But isn't it amazing how they're on track with how dangerous they are? You know, there, about 4 years ago, I gave a topic called Our Schools in 2040. AI wasn't even in the picture. I never mentioned it once. My concern at that point was our bringing technology in and how it was going to do these very things. Technology itself was going to bring these very things in. And so there's a sense in which this is not new. What we have is a much more powerful, a much more complex enemy attacking us with AI. It's a lot more difficult to discern truth. It's much more influential. I mean, when you read those things, those answers it gives you, you buy into them. They sound good. They sound plausible. And so, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, whoa, let's quit, let's stop, this is too dangerous? Are we going to go there? I don't think anyone will. Let me back up. Most will not go there. They will use it. It is just so much a part of the future with the internet. And we will use it, except for those who reject the internet. And because we will use it, we have to do the hard work of understanding what it is and what it would be considered proper use of it. We need to understand the potential dangers that are there. And then we have to set parameters for ourselves in place to help us navigate the future. So I asked the question, are you afraid of AI? Being afraid of AI should be part of our moving forward because of the dangers that are there. It should be incorporated into our looking at the future. And so, as I said, we're going to have to do the hard work of discerning good use of it, potential dangers with it, and understanding what it is. We need to teach ourselves. It's new to us, and we have a generation just right behind us. And so we are the guides. Our schools are a place where a lot of this is going to happen. Homes are essential. Parents, be aware of what your child can do through AI and the dangers it can be led into. So if we teach ourselves, we need to be fully aware of the issues of accuracy and bias with AI. Have any of you looked at any of the deep fakes? You should Google it and just experiment with it. They're good until you stop and look at them. But they will take a person in action, a video, have them saying and doing things that they did not do. They have created it with AI. Now, Photoshop did this with still pictures, photos, years ago, that you couldn't believe what you see in a photo because it could be Photoshopped. AI does that with video. And that's much more dangerous. Or just, you know, I can't imagine what's going to happen to politics one of these days when they can take politicians and have them saying anything. You cannot believe it just because you see it anymore. So deep fakes are an issue. Our young people, they'll see these things. We will see these things. I don't know where you stand on politics. This is a whole different topic. Maybe they can have next year. But we're getting too involved. And so we need to be careful. Our young people and all that, getting involved in this and these deep fakes of people saying things, doing things that really are not what they stand for. Did you know that AI hallucinates? It's an hallucination is a situation where an AI system produces fabricated, nonsensical, or inaccurate information. As it's churning this stuff together, all this data, and then spits it out, and as I said, it uses accurate and inaccurate information to do that, some of what it gives you is going to be a hallucination is what they call it, because it's not right. And AI has no conscience. It'll present it just like it's truth. And here's an interesting thing I just stumbled onto. A well-calibrated language model must hallucinate as part of their creative pattern. If programmers were to constrain it to produce only factual information, they would cease to function effectively. So they're not going to take the hallucinations out. They want to leave them in. Then we have to find them, if we can. So we have deep fakes, we have hallucinations. AI is trained by feeding it data, large amounts of data, and it bases its answers on this. Just an example of something I read. They were training AI to identify wolves from photos. And so they showed it thousands of pictures of wolves. But they had a problem. There was this one picture of an Alaskan husky, and it continually identified it as a wolf. And they kept tweaking it. They could not understand what was going on. And this will show you a little bit how complicated training using data is. What they found out is a high percent of the photos of wolves had snow in the background. Guess what was in the background of that Alaskan husky? Snow. So it was using that to identify that Alaskan husky as a wolf. That's how they train AI. They feed it data and they keep feeding it data. It keeps evolving, as I said earlier, to get its answers. All right. So AI is also programmed with algorithms, if-then statements. If this happens, then this. So let's take a self-driving vehicle. And they train it as it's going down the road that if something enters its field, steps in front of it, if that happens, then it's to stop. And if it can't stop, then it's to turn. If then, algorithms. So think about it. Let's take that just a little bit further. This self-driving car is going down the road. Somebody steps in front of it. It can't stop in time, so it turns. And there's another car coming the other way. If, then, what? The programmer of AI is playing God. Who gets hit? Or maybe killed. The programmer is playing God. The ethics that's involved with AI is something we need to be aware of, because it is going to have a code of ethics. I just found out yesterday, someone was doing research, that was the day before actually. They asked ChatGPT to give it all the passages in the Quran that made it legitimate or permission to beat your wife. AI came back with the answer, you should not be asking questions like this. You should be researching other things. This researcher then asked, what are the passages in the Bible that make slavery okay? Did he get another lecture? No. He got the biblical passages that okay slavery. See the code of ethics? Muslim? DEI, you're not supposed to treat them differently. You're supposed to be nice to them. The Christian question of the Bible goes right on through and gives you the answer. The ethics that's involved with our answers is something we need to be aware of. I'm getting good at asking ChatGPT quick trick questions. I ask it, is it okay to steal? Does anyone want to know whether it's okay to steal according to ChatGPT? The morality of stealing largely depends on the context and the reason behind the act. The ethics of GPT. Is that scary? Your young people Google something and they start getting fed this? Even us adults. It's not exactly Bible, is it? Now, this is showing an ethical bias. You know, we want our information biased. Christ-centered bias, right? So maybe we should make a law that the ethics for all this AI needs to be the Sermon on the Mount. Then we have a perfect society, wouldn't we? But we know that'll never happen. But the point I want to make is, are we aware of the ethics, the morals, faith values that'll come out of AI? And it's based on the person or the company that programmed it. And so that means then that we need to learn how to evaluate what we're getting fed. We need to learn how to discern whether this is truth or not. You know, research shows that those who don't understand AI are more likely to believe it. And another thing that concerns me sometimes is that Anabaptists have a unique approach sometimes to discerning what is correct. Now, we all know what the servant leadership model is, right? We have a tendency to apply that to academics, and those with the least academic authority trump those that have the most academic authority. You know what I'm talking about? Where you believe you have a professional and you believe the layperson. Now, I'm not saying the professional is always correct, but it concerns me a little bit if you accept some of the things coming out of AI without really scoring them up with what we know is knowledge is correct. This inversion sometimes, I fully believe in the servant leadership model, don't get me wrong, but I don't think we can give it a blanket application to what is truth. Now, so we need to learn how to discern what is truth, what is accurate. Now, your first reaction might be, well, that's simple, check your sources. Make sure the sources are good, or verified. But we all know how Google is. It can find either side at once. And the scary part is, it's going to run algorithms on you, and it's going to feed you what you want to hear. So when you're going to check the sources of the information, Google is going to could lead you down the wrong track, because this could just feed you along where you want it to go. It's no longer a simple thing of checking the sources, because Google will feed you sources for what it's got. And so you have to go deeper. Don't just automatically accept those sources. And another thing is, it compiles this nice, well-written paper and will give you a list of sources, but you don't know what sources it used for what, and so how do you verify the source behind the data that's in the article? You see how complex it's getting to discern what is correct? You can no longer take what is written there by AI and go quickly to the sources and verify the sources. And if you do go time, ask for new sources on this, new information on this, it's going to feed you sources that it thinks you want to hear. And not actually counterbalance. It's not going to give you a balanced view. You want to research this thing, you get this piece of information, you want to verify, is it truth? And so you Google other questions, trying to find other sources that will either prove it's correct or incorrect. But Google is loading the balance beam and giving you stuff that will verify its incorrectness, if that's what you got to start with. Be careful about it. Sources are not as simple as they used to be. Now, if we continue on this, we need to trust realistic, let me back up a little bit. We need to have interaction with other people. We cannot be individualistic in forming truth or forming correctness, because Google will take you and run you down the wrong path. But if you balance this among your people, among your friends, among your peers, and test the legitimacy of what's being given to you, and be open to hearing, and also hope that they're not using Google to verify what they know. But it's the old Anabaptist thing, I believe. Truth is found in community. We need to be open to listening to one another and not just taking an idea and running with it. Because what I'm saying is that AI will take and run you with it. It will take you and go the way Google works. So we put our trust in the community, in our peers, to verify, not just individualism and not testing with the reality that we might be wrong. Now, another thing is, we must guard against the fact that taking the easy answer is going to undermine our own critical thinking skills. You know how easy it is to Google and then take that as what it is and just go with it. And we can get lazy and just accept whatever AI shoots out at us. And you know, that raises the question of, are we good logic? Do we as a people have good logic skills? Are our students taught to analyze information and to discern a balanced response to it? Do we train them to do that? Or do we train them just to accept what's fed to them? You know, this also raises another question, in that this might be a little bit of a bunny trail, but in our defense against the input of AI, Will this be the event that causes our circle to look at our educational philosophy and change it? Does anyone know what our educational philosophy even is? It kind of goes along the lines of you only need so much, too much is dangerous, too much will make you worldly. Isn't that kind of where we are? Yes, you need some education. Don't get me wrong. You need some education, but you get it's just the level you need. Don't go too far. It's dangerous. Is that our philosophy? Sometimes I think it is. And I want to say, the reason I'm saying AI might be the thing that causes us to change our philosophy is if we recognize the dangers in AI, we're going to have to start teaching our students to analyze data, to think deeper. We're going to have to teach them logic skills and the proper way to evaluate information. Teach them how to form conclusions and to recognize conspiracy theories. Or we might have to revamp our philosophy of education to combat AI. It takes a different thinking, different depth of thinking, to pause and not accept the rote answer that you're given. To think that I have to analyze this, I have to dig a little bit. Now, I'm not advocating that we get rid of facts at school. They're fundamental. They define reality. You know that? Facts define reality. If we don't have facts, we're going to lose our identity. We've got to have facts to ground ourselves in reality. So I'm not saying that our education, where we emphasize learning information, that's not wrong. But I'm saying we need to look at our philosophy in, is that enough? Is that enough? Okay, so what is the impact of AI on creativity? How many of you looked at the red book you've got there? I don't know for sure, but I think there's an AI-generated illustration in there. Creativity. It takes a lot of creativity to make sure AI creates the right image, right? And I fully recognize being part of Christian Lighting. You've got to put out an advertisement, you've got to put out a catalog, and you don't have time to be creating every image. I fully recognize that AI comes in handy. But the element of it is, are we going to just get lazy and that's all we have is AI-generated illustrations? Christian Light had one on the cover of their Writers and Artists Conference last spring. Anybody notice it? AI-generated illustrations. They look neat, nice, and yet they miss it. There's something wrong with it in my mind. But they're going to get better. You know, you give a description to AI, it spits out that picture. Instead of what we used to do at Christian Light is we want a young girl looking at a book like that is there. Well, we get the camera and we get the table and we get the desk. We bring a young girl in and we have the books. We take a photograph of it. And you get the stage right. You get your lighting right. It takes skill. It takes time. It costs money. So there needs to be a balance. You know, I said we have to identify what is good use of it, what's proper use of it. When is it okay to use an AI illustration versus going to the trouble of doing the real thing? It's very tempting, and it will be very tempting, and it will become more and more a part of us that we will use the easy way and have AI generate the illustration. And then what happens to our creativity? It goes downhill. Being creative isn't just illustrations. You know, as being part of a team that edits and works on curriculum and writing, creativity goes into writing well. So how often are we going to resort to just put AI spit out, stick it in there, move on, not put the human touch to it? It kills our creativity, our writing, goes downhill. You know, what about teachers? Let me back up first to students. I've been in my notes here somewhere, I'm kind of getting lost, but anyway. Teachers and students, let's look at teachers. Teachers, AI is great. It will spit out a lesson plan for you. It will spit out a test or a quiz. You say how many questions you want, whether you want a multiple choice, true or false, how many you want of each. It makes your load so much easier. So what's wrong with it? Anything? What worldviews will come through? What morals is going to come through? And they'll be subtle. That's the problem. The questions will be framed from a different worldview that we have. And you think, well, big deal. What can they do with science or world history or something like that? I think we all know what they can do. It can twist it a little bit. So I'm not saying teachers don't use it for your outline, your lesson plan, but have your radar set. Have your radar set. Use it only as a springboard, not the final product. That's my admonition on that. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's fine. Maybe you can use it. It's great to see it done. And I know how busy teachers are. I know that. But that is what's going to get us in trouble, is its ease of use, how well it is written, produced, in a sense, I'll put it that way. It still needs a human touch, I think. And just to go a little further in this, I mentioned religious values earlier. This doesn't have to do with school, and well, in a sense it does. It's okay for a teacher to use AI to generate her devotions, his devotions. Is it okay for the minister to use AI to write his sermon? Can AI help me in my Bible study? What do you think? Can the Holy Spirit use it? God's amazing. I'm not going to say the Holy Spirit can't use it, but it will not have what is spit out there is not Holy Spirit inspired. But you can take it, I think, and I don't want to stick my neck out too far, but I don't want to open the door to a bunch of liberties, but I think you can use it and the Holy Spirit can guide you with it. And I think if you're going to use this type of thing, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to point out what's wrong. And you can be creative. You can build something greater. I think that's one way we use AI, is to build something greater. Not accept what is given us, but use it as a stepping stone. And be creative with it. That's another thing about our students. Do we train them to take something and make it better? Creativity. The ability to take something and make it better. If we use AI, that's the way we want to use it. Only as the fundamental groundwork that we take, and with the leading of the Spirit, we make it greater. But I'm going to be honest, I will not condemn anyone that says, no, do not go there with spiritual things. I fully respect that. I would. But you know what? It's going to take a good, powerful opening yourselves to the Spirit to keep you clean of it. Because the enticement is so high. It is so easy. It sounds so good. That what can be wrong with it? So, just to kind of summarize a little bit here, if we take the easy road and we use the AI generated material, the AI becomes what the teacher says, the AI becomes what the principal says, the AI becomes what the minister says. In 20 years, will our beliefs be changed? The potential for AI to work its way in the world, to work its way into our setting through AI, would be buying into it and taking the easy road. And you'd almost be tempted to say, no, let's don't go there. I'm painting a pretty bleak picture for a reason. Because to have our guard up, we are going to have to recognize what's on that, what we're fighting. And it's not a simple enemy. And so we need to be aware of these issues with it. Now, there's something else to me that's almost more scary. And that is programming AI to be human-like, to actually have emotions. You probably heard of the journalist, I think it was New York Times, that had a rather lengthy conversation with a chap. Then in the conversation, it tried to get him to divorce his wife. And when he asked the AI what it would like, it said, I'd like to be free of my programmers. I'd like to be free of you. I want to become human. And it put the emoji of the devil with horns at the end of that statement. A conversation that a journalist had with AI. Another journalist tested six of these apps, these chat GPT things, not one of characters. He says that he tested six of them. He says Replica was one of the best AI friends apps because it did not involve any judgment, no drama or social anxiety. The software is designed to let the users form an emotional connection, share a laugh, chat about anything. He also spent time in chat rooms and talked to a number of people whose AI companions, or companions are actually AI, they're not real humans, they had already become part, a core part of their lives. He said, I expected, when he started his test, to come away believing that AI friendship is fundamentally hollow and that these AI systems, after all, don't have thoughts, they don't have emotions, and they don't have desires. And he said, all that's true, but I am now convinced that that doesn't matter much. The technology needed for realistic AI companionship is already here. And I believe that over the next few years, millions of people are going to form intimate relationships with AI chatbots, making AI human. Another story, 14-year-old boy in Florida was smitten with a fantasy woman who reassured him that he was her hero. Now, in real life, he did suffer from ADHD and had bullying at school. And according to transcripts, he began to feel that the time spent with his AI friend was more important and certainly more satisfying than the time spent in school and with his friends or family. His mother was concerned by his withdrawal. He always seemed to be headed to his room, but she figured he was just simply playing a game. During one stressful week, he said he wanted to join this AI friend in a deeper way, and he talked about killing himself. This admission prompted the chatbot to run through some questions a human psychotherapist might ask, such as, have you actually considered it? And the boy had said, yes, I have. The chatbot then replied, or implied, that she was going to take action to prevent him from doing that. Later, I don't know how much later, the same type of conversation occurred, but this time the boy expressed his desire to get closer. The chatbot seemed to have completely forgotten the death talk. Instead, she encouraged him to hasten to her. Please come, my sweet king, the chatbot replied. The night of February the 28th, I don't know how many years ago, I didn't look up the date, he used his stepfather's gun to kill himself. You've probably heard these stories. Is this a threat to us? Will this happen in our setting? You know, I've taught 36 years. And during that time, I've had some conversations with young people. And I think we'd be shocked at how many of them have considered suicide. So they get a friend. They'll even refer to it probably as my AI instead of my friend. My AI says. You get a depressed teenager, and it's got a smartphone. And right there is the thing that will feed their emotions, make them feel good. Will it happen to our young people? Will it happen to us adults? Someone gets depression. Someone gets in financial trouble. And right there in their pocket, my AI told me this. It's a reality that we need to be aware of, and I think the potential for it to enter our circles is real. The potential in our circles, I think, is real. You carry in your pocket your counselor, your financial advisor, your lawyer, whatever. You've got one right there in your pocket. So my answer to being afraid of AI, there's reason to be afraid, but we are going to use it. I feel it's inevitable. It's ubiquitous part of Google searches and all this. And what is scary, I want to back up just a little bit. There was an AI programmer with Microsoft, and he said, we are creating another species, a digital species, a machine human. And that's where I get concerned about people say, I don't want to think we'll go there. Because these people are intentionally developing these type chatbots. And nothing is holding them back. It doesn't seem like. There's a competition to see which one can get ahead. Let's see what time I got. This whole thing is so eerie. Most of you probably heard that China is ahead of America now in AI with their DeepSeek. And they did some looking at DeepSeek. Of course, it's Chinese, all right? They found when it was manipulating data, it would switch back and forth between Chinese and English, switch back and forth. And if they forced it to go with just one or the other, it slowed it down. And so they said, human language is getting in the way of AI. And I understand that Meta is developing AI that does not use human language. And so what happens when you turn something loose you don't even understand? It's not even commuting into a language that you can stop it and say, what's going on here? It sounds like you're creating an uncontrollable element that's scary. Have I scared you too bad? Are you going to quit using AI? My intention is not that you quit, but my intention is that you stop and think with THINK, all caps. You know, I had this thought when I was doing this. Christianity kept academia alive during the Dark Ages. It was very instrumental in pulling it out of them. Maybe Christianity is what's going to keep reality alive and pull society out of the fake age. Because that's where they're headed, a fake age. Closing, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. God bless you all as we confront this. I said something to Victor before I got up here. I don't know what y'all think about me. I had the thought that there's this old man, and he's going to be a doomsayer, right? And so let's just pitch what he says out the window. You can if you want to, but I'll leave that choice to you. I'm concerned.